everybody. Welcome to the inaugural and yet untitled Gather podcast. I'm joined here by my effervescent and already dismissive of me co-host, Mimi Sunlongo.
Hello.
A process analyst and project manager for a number of very successful projects at Gather.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
And for this episode, I'm also joined in Gather studio in beautiful Flatiron, New York on a rainy day by Christophe.
Hello.
Christophe Jamet, who is one of Gather's managing directors and an account lead on a number of accounts. And on the phone today, we have the editor in charge of the Gather Dispatch that has been coming to your inbox quarterly for maybe a year and a half right now, Cole Stryker.
Happy to be here. It's not raining where I am in Los Angeles.
It never is, they tell me. So here's the thing we're going to do on this podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the Gather Dispatch, which I imagine many of you are already familiar with, and a little bit about the current iteration of that. But generally on this podcast, what we're going to do is bring in people from the Gather network to talk about who they are and what they're up to and let you know a little more from the inside of what Gather's like. Who knows how frequently we'll do this, but you're going to enjoy it every time. I promise you at least that much.
No pressure.
So, Cole, would you mind doing the honors and describe the most current iteration of the Gather Dispatch that just went out a few weeks ago at the end of April?
Yeah, sure. So just at a high level, the Gather Dispatch is all about the future of work from the perspective of a group of people that have been doing independent knowledge work for some time. And we use the term independent knowledge work because it's clearly defining something that is done on a freelance basis, but is delineated from something like, say, task rabbiting. What we're talking about is mostly people working out of doing office work, let's say. And the most recent issue is about how when you're working on a freelance basis or a contract basis for a company, it can get very lonely, and not just emotionally and psychologically, but also it can make you feel a little bit inside your own head, and it's hard to get a sense of whether a client is asking you something that's appropriate or fair, or whether your performance is sufficient or on track. And one of the things that can really help is having people around you who are invested in your career and in your professional life, and just you as a person, any number of things. It's just helpful to have people in your corner. Mm-hmm. And that could look a lot of different ways. It could look like being a part of a guild. It could look like just having a Slack channel of you and your colleagues in the space who are also gigging, with something more formalized like a union. Or it could look like a talent network like Gather, where a bunch of us professionals have gathered on an entrepreneurial basis to find synergies in working together.
Sure. And so generally speaking, the Gather Dispatch's beat, I would say, is somewhere between how to successfully be one of these independent knowledge workers and then what sort of the macro situation of work and independent work is in any given quarter as we're covering it, as that impacts the work of independent workers.
Yeah. And I think that it's something that became so clear during the pandemic, especially like a lot of us at Gather had been working remotely, for example, for many years. And we were very used to the pros and cons of that and had an early ability to provide insight into how that changes things. And so that's just one aspect of independent knowledge work.
Right.
But as the entire economy seems to be shifting toward short-term employment relationships or short-term contracts and these kind of highly specialized but modular gigs, I think that we can provide a lot of value in our perspective of having been doing this for a lot longer than a lot of people.
And speaking of having been doing this for a while, I know we only have 5 more minutes of Christoph's time. We are recording this right out of the podcast studio in our office, so we grabbed him out of his seat on his way to a haircut to drop some knowledge on us. Christophe, I know you had some thoughts and helped us out in the planning process of this particular dispatch around the concept of having people in your corner, what it means to build out your professional support corner. I don't know if you have a couple jewels to lend us before you're out the door, but spotlight's on you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. It's, you know, just the concept of community transcends being a gig worker, but I think especially when you don't have, I think every traditional quote job has some of that community embedded. How well or how not well it's enforced within a company's culture is like a totally other argument. But one of the benefits of working a traditional job is you're surrounded by people that have some sort of commonality with you, right? Some sort of shared string, which is just the company's mission and ethos, ostensibly. And when you go to start working for yourself, you kind of lose that, right? You're kind of a mercenary. You're working on one or more clients, and it's very hard to find people that share that commonality. But the reality is that now, in today's age, we have so many tools and platforms of community available that make it a lot easier for you to find people where you can share in one of those facets, right? So like Gather's a great example. It's a network of people that all kind of work in the same way, albeit for different reasons, different clients, different capabilities. But you have this commonality in this community where you can get a ton of knowledge share, a ton of, I'd say, like soft security, right? Knowing you have this group of people that are in the same-ish boat as you. Prior to Gather, when I was just working for myself, it was very apparent. When you don't have anyone to run ideas by, feedback is so important. Being able to just talk to somebody and get some perspective that's outside of your own head is so important. Mm-hmm. And as the workforce evolves and as independent thought work becomes more prevalent, I think people are going to be more successful the more readily they find community. Mm. Whether it's aligned to your professional capabilities, right? So like a design guild, or whether it's just a group of other freelancers, or if it's people that all work in marketing, or people that all work for that company, all those facets have discrete benefit to you as a independent worker.
Right.
I think that it's an interesting thought process to consider the people who've been working alone for a while who are now working in the, you know, Gather community, but then considering now that they all work remote, now that you see the missing community, it's not only like wanting to upgrade where you work, but upgrade the work culture and then upgrade the communication between your team. And then once that team, or you realize your team doesn't communicate, you see another one that does. I've even found myself wanting to like gravitate towards other groups that are willing to have that communication, that are willing to have that, you know, network and interaction and feedback loop and everything else. Like, being left to your own devices, sure, that's great if you never want to be on your computer and you just want to work in the middle of the night. But as a social person, I went from a team with Cole where we met every day and we checked in, and that really helped with the communication, to a team who never needs me to actually check in. So I started finding myself wanting to find that group and wanting to find that culture and that network again, because I have more freedom now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a really interesting point. It gets me thinking that the pandemic was actually a really interesting test case for traditional companies because they were cut off from the benefits of in-person stuff. And I know there's a whole other dispatch's worth of stuff around back to work, back in the office sort of thing. And I have another podcast episode of opinions about
it.
We'll get
there.
We'll get there.
For sure.
But these companies that had some semblance of culture were all of a sudden largely 80% of it was cut off the minute that you couldn't go back to the office. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of tell, you could kind of see what it did to people. They lost those touch points of humanity in person. They lost the ability to go get coffee with somebody, to just have a quick conversation with somebody. And while we live in an age where the telecommunications platforms exist and it's easier than it would have been 20 years ago to deal with this, there was definitely some sort of hit to how people engage interpersonally for their own betterment in that way. Mm-hmm.
There were people that I realized who had been remote beforehand, who I found were better communicators, who wouldn't speak up in meetings previously, but now that everyone could hear them because they were all remote, mm-hmm. had these great ideas that were never really listened to because we'd all be in the room together talking over them. So they'd sit back, and now those people were starting to talk, and you realize the people who were in the room aren't actually technologically good communicators. Mm. So it was this shift in like, who's good at this? Mm-hmm. Some different skills came into play all of a sudden that you didn't even realize were necessary. So it was a really interesting.
Like the introverts are running the show now.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of that. One of my, I don't know, half to three quarters baked ideas comes off of, you know, you ever have one of these moments where.
Medium rare idea.
Medium, it's time for a medium rare take. You ever have one of those moments where you realize like why a concept or why a word actually exists and is meaningful? So one of my medium rare ideas is around like the concept of charisma and especially in work functions, like the importance of it and the general flattening of charisma to a screen was dangerous.
You got something there. Yeah.
The general flattening of trapped charisma to a screen was really beneficial for people with good ideas who maybe lack traditional charisma. Or I think put another way, not to make it a deficiency in the people who are now speaking up, but I think there are a lot of people who in three-dimensional space get away with a lot through pure charisma. And you don't notice it until it's taken away. And I notice this a lot on meetings where people you know who are very smart who don't often speak up are able to get a larger share of the brain capital or the brain space in that meeting than they otherwise would. And people who have always dominated meetings I have been in just become another square on the board. And you start seeing that the people with the best ideas take up more airspace and become a little bit more of a leader on that call where they would never do so because the hierarchy of workplace culture is so defined that when the boss walks in a room, people feel a certain way. They react a certain way. You pick up their deference. You're a little bit more deferential. The boss is feeding off of that, even if subconsciously, and they know they can carry weight in a different way. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen as much on the screen. I've been in so many calls with clients in different agencies and people who I don't know yet. I'm getting to know where I don't know who is in where on the org chart, and it doesn't matter. And the person who's talking to us, I'm like, geez, they must be the boss. And it's often not the case. They just have the best ideas. And every time I've been in a new client meeting in space, you immediately know who's calling the shots just because of the small
body language
cues everyone's giving and you fall into order.
I did notice initially when things switched over to just being remote, there were a lot of people who used to talk all the time and give their opinion and throw it out. And then all of a sudden they were a little bit more nervous about giving their opinion or making a definitive statement because they were being recorded or because there was only 30 minutes
we
and they couldn't
be
brushing it off later.
And I was like, interesting. You know, I was frustrated because I was like, we still need to make decisions. We can't all be afraid of making decisions now. But it did point out there were people who are very confident when they're in the room and then all of a sudden realized like they were going to be held accountable for what they said and they weren't facing everyone. They were sitting amongst the group in a bunch of squares.
I will say though, I think there's a counterpart to that, like maybe a negative side to the zoominess of things, if we want to call it that. But I think if you were, if you're like an easily distracted person and you've got multiple screens, working on Zoom is very tough. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're in a room and you know eyes are on you, it's very easy to disconnect in a digital manner. Not to say like in real person meetings, you'd have that one person that was just on their computer while people were talking to them. You got that same analog.
Emotional intelligence.
But I think it's really, But I think it's really easy to get distracted and disconnect in a digital manner as well.
Well, speaking of getting distracted, I'm not going to get distracted from my good citizenship of letting you go on time for your haircut, CJ.
No worries.
Thank you
it's
for stopping by.
It's more of a
by.
Beard cut. I just want to be
okay.
Very honest.
Well,
I don't
do
want
that
people to think
you.
I have a full head
we
of hair on this podcast.
Here, don't we?
Thank you for having me,
but
though.
But I will, before I release you, let you know the one corollary to the theory I just put on is that the same thing happens on mic. I have been doing podcasts for like 8, 9, 10 years now.
Show off.
You will watch people in the room who you think are the smartest people you've ever met saying things. You're getting all gassed up. It feels great. You go home, you listen to the tape. They have said nothing for 30 minutes. And then I've sat somewhere. I'm so bored. You're dragging out the next question. You're like, this is going to be terrible. You listen to the tape. All gorgeous, all gems. It's perfect. So, CJ, I enjoyed talking to you. Let's hope that means the tape
I hope I'm
is
the latter.
Not
we'll
terrible.
Thank you for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for
guys.
Dropping in. Thanks, happy man. Beard cut.
Bye-bye.
That's definitely the case also when you look at transcripts.
Okay.
And you realize how much filler is in people's conversational speech.
Yeah. Mm.
James Brown had that line, talking loud but saying nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
And I feel like I get that a lot when I review interview transcripts.
That I have teammates that I know don't have anything to say in a meeting, but they want to be recognized as somebody who did something, even if they didn't do any of the work. And then they'll repeat something that was said by somebody else 10 minutes ago. Like they wrote it down and then they were like, well, I was thinking this. And then we have to be like, yeah, we said that already. Mm-hmm. After a while, it kind of becomes apparent who's saying things and who's repeating others and or just filling in, you know, with a few words.
Well, as I always like to say, after a while, it becomes apparent who's saying things and who's just repeating what other people have said and maybe filling in a couple words. Cool. So in a minute, we're going to have another gatherer, Tara Perkins, call in and chat about a little piece that she wrote attendant to the most recent gather. But Cole, I wanted to know if there's anything else you thought we should cover about the meat of the gather dispatch that most recently went out before we call Tara in and talk a little bit more about the personal stories of the people who have impacted our lives business-wise.
Sure. Well, I think the central conceit of the dispatch of this quarter is that you need more than just a network. Ideally, you have a community. And how I delineated that was not necessarily folks that are there to throw you a bone in exchange for you throwing them a bone down the line, but something that's a little bit more or less utilitarian, something that is work with people who you trust and who you like, if you can, and build those relationships and don't just see those people as temporary coworkers, but as potential members of your community who will be there for you when you lose a gig or when you are searching for crumbs because something ended abruptly or you know, maybe there's a great opportunity somewhere and they can hook you up somehow. You know, there's a certain sense of like back scratching that goes along with being a part of a network. But I like to think of the people in my community as being potentially real friends.
Yeah.
And I've had the pleasure of being able to work with friends over the last decade or so of my freelance career. And I got to say, it makes all the difference in the world to work with people that you trust.
Sure. And I like the how fine a point you make on it in the dispatch that it is not, this is not a nice to have. It's a need to have. It's certainly our, as Gather's founder, Justin Tobin, is fond of saying at every holiday party, probably for the last decade, life is too short to work with people whom you don't like, is a paraphrase. And that is true, but I think in this dispatch, you elegantly articulated why that is a need to have for a long-term career in independent work and not just a, it feels better when that's true. It's, it only really functions for you when that is true.
Yeah. And I think when you look at this over the long-term, which is actually something we're going to be exploring in the next dispatch, how to manage a freelance career over like life's big milestones, like having family, moving to a new country or state, retirement. These are all big, scary things. And as a millennial approaching his 40s, I feel like I'm starting to think seriously about certainly retirement and just like late career planning in a way that I really was totally oblivious to up until right about now. And I know there's a lot of people in my cohort that are probably in a similar place. You want people who can be there emotionally, who can teach you how to make the right decisions. And because it can otherwise feel like you're going it alone and you'll make mistakes as a result of that. And the big hook for that issue is going to be that a lot of people think that full-time employment is somehow more secure than independent knowledge work, when in fact it's the opposite. If you have a bunch of irons in the fire, a bunch of rotating clients on deck, a bunch of opportunities that are in some active form, even if they're on the back burner, it gives you a stepping stone if something falls through. That's the kind of territory that we're going to be exploring next time.
Well, I look forward to that one. Thank you for the good plug. And in a couple months, the next episode or the next edition of The Dispatch will be out. All right, I'm going to figure out how to get our colleague Tara on the call now, and we will speak with her about some personal work stories she put together. Cole, I know you ended the dispatch with a very nice personal example. So we're going to be talking about how to be friends with the people you put in your proverbial corner. And I feel like we should throw to a break after this read from our sponsor.
I can only feel you.
Welcome back from the break. I may or may not have actually put into this. And thank you for not changing the channel. We are now joined by Gather writer Tara Perkins, who has written on a number of different client accounts right now, and most recently wrote something which ended up on her blog, TaraChristiCreative.com. That's TaraChristi Creative.com. That is a little ancillary component piece to The Dispatch, a personal story about somebody who has been in her proverbial corner in her career. And we thought it would be nice to speak with her about that experience. So thank you for joining us, Tara.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
We have been talking a lot about the importance over a long-term career of having people who are your advocates, your mentors, making the workplace better for someone. And you wrote a really nice story about someone who relatively earlier in your career was that sort of mentor figure for you.
I did. I touched upon a story about, I call her my supervisor in the beginning of my article, but I fondly remember her as my favorite leader of all time. I hesitate to call her a boss. And in the article, I sort of call out the differences I see between being a boss and being a leader. And she truly embodied leadership and had a huge influence on my career. And I've stayed in touch with her, and she's now a friend and just a wonderful person. So I'd love to share this story about her.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, that's great. Sounded horrible when I just said it. I'm going to say that less horribly. yeah, that's great. yeah, really nice. that connects to the meat of what Cole wrote in The Dispatch about there being a meaningful distinction between a sort of a colleague and a friend and the importance of bridging that gap. Do you, Tara, sort of remember at which point that line was crossed, or if it was a conscious decision when a colleague became a friend?
I think it wasn't so much conscious as it was organic. Sarah was very easy to get along with. She had a great sense of humor. She made everyone feel comfortable. We were kind of all able to be ourselves. And she was very trustworthy. And she was encouraging. And so I felt naturally drawn to her as a person. And I think just over time, we worked together the most, because I also did, in addition to public relations, I also did business development. And since she owned the firm, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like her right hand in that endeavor. And so we spent a lot of time, a lot of lunches. It was more of an organic friendship, I would say, than like a conscious decision. Like, this person is now my friend, you know?
Right, right. As someone who has spent time doing business development, as well as someone who's been an independent worker for a fair amount of time, do you actively seek out friendships in those relationships, or do they all develop similarly organically?
You know, it's interesting. I go into things with more of like a friendship attitude from the get. I'm very interested in people. Mm-hmm. I don't really have the mindset like I'm going to this as a business meeting and then this is a friendship meeting. You know, I just sort of, it is what it is, and hopefully that person connects with me. Sometimes people don't connect with you on that level. That's fine. You just kind of keep it all business and keep it moving. That's a really interesting question, because I have seen a lot of people approach business development and those kinds of connections with like a very narrow viewpoint. Like, I have to be buttoned up. I have to be a certain way. Mm. And honestly, I just don't, it comes down to your own values too. And like who you are and who you want to work with, I guess.
I actually noticed that too when I was first starting to work with Gather, that I was kind of, it was a corporate position that had a lot of like visibility, where I was being brought in for a position that didn't exist. So the person who was bringing me in was already taking a chance on me and was aware that my attitude towards people was a little bit more like friendly and easygoing and like smiling right off the bat. And somebody on her team actually told her she was worried because I was too nice and
we're like, all worried about that,
kind of flippant. And I was like, I'm not flippant. I'm I'm friendly and jokey, and you know. And then so when I came in, I was a little bit hesitant, like worried, like, oh, I shouldn't be acting that way. But you even talking about like coming in with the friendliness and trying to immediately develop like, I want to trust in you and I want to have a good time and we're going to have to work on this together. Let's start in a good place. That's always been kind of what I see as a good place to start. But because of my previous experiences, I'm always a little hesitant because I'm like, am I being too unprofessional by approaching it with this kind of lighthearted attitude? So it's nice to hear somebody who's been doing it professionally for a while starting projects. And it's just nice to hear that you're having that same experience and think it's a good way to start.
I relate to that. There's something you said in that, because I very much understand what you're saying about people almost not trusting you or something when you're really friendly. It's almost like really nice, professional, friendly people can't, you know, just don't exist. I can't trust that person. Like, what's their agenda? And I have experienced that more times than I can count. And it's just always hit me so weirdly because I don't have an agenda except to, you know, make a new friend, make a new colleague and do great work. Mm. I don't know. Maybe we're rare. I don't know.
Let's just say we are and go with that. I like that.
We're special.
Cole, would you describe yourself as a friendly business relations person? Don't laugh at him.
You know, for me, I think a lot of it comes down to just being a curious person who is interested in meeting and knowing other interesting people. The story that I told in the dispatch about a fellow who has become something of a mentor to me and a friend started because I recognized a band shirt he was wearing. It was an obscure lyric reference. And I basically just came to learn that this was someone who had a lot of curiosity about the work that we were doing, about me as a person. And I just really gravitated toward that. And there's an Instagram comedian, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce her name, but it's Kiara Jane O'Sullivan. I embedded one of her videos in the dispatch, and it's basically a woman who is having a Zoom chat, and she's just trying to be a real normal person who speaks in a real normal way that you would talk to a friend. And then she's playing this other character who's like the buttoned up business lingo person who's talking about circling back and you know, all the other hits that we know. And at one point she just drops the facade and says like, hey, can we not just be real with each other? Can we just talk like humans to one another? Like, why do we have to play this role performatively? And I think that there are more opportunities to do that now that we have this hybrid work environment. Like I use Microsoft Teams occasionally in one of my gigs, which is Microsoft's alternative to Zoom. And it actually sends you an email once a week saying like you spent X amount of time talking to this person or that person. It's kind of like the Spotify end of year data viz that they do. But I noticed the second highest amount of time I had spent with someone was like 6 hours for the month. But then this colleague who became a friend, it was up to 22 hours because our work calls ended up becoming like, hey, how you doing? Like, how's life type conversations. It's something that I've really come to cherish and something that makes work fun. Mm-hmm. The relationship is now such that I can trust him to not just be real with me, but to tell me the truth about what's really going on at the company and how things are really happening behind closed doors. Like I feel like we debrief each other and we just make a great little work unit because of that realness.
I'm wondering if we have any actionable advice. How do you find yourself in these positions? Can you manufacture them? How do you try to chart your way towards meaningful work relationships or encourage them to flourish?
I found that in my favorite calls with my favorite teams always start off with a few minutes of a goofy conversation. Like we're waiting for people to come in and either the person running the call or just somebody else who's in the group will bring up a topic and say right before this, I got on a call talking about, you know, the new blog direction. We were actual blog, not podcast, which are two words I have decided are interchangeable recently. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about, you know, what's the best food in your area that you can find at 3 a.m. And it wasn't like an icebreaker. It was just a conversation we started to have. And then when we get into the work, everybody's a little bit more loose. Everybody's a little bit more like open to adding something to the conversation. It's not coming in and everyone's silent. You can feel the difference in how a call is going to go. If everybody comes in and they're silent, waiting for somebody else to speak versus opening up the conversation to something a little bit off topic and then being like, all right, well, this was the meeting and what it was supposed to be about a few minutes in.
I've also noticed that I like calls that start when everyone is comfortable enough with each other that they all say hi and then immediately start answering emails. And the first 5 minutes is spent in companionable silence as you watch everyone's eyes dart around and their hands move while they wait for the agenda to start. But they're comfortable enough not needing to present on camera, but realizing we're about to be colleagues together and we all have emails to get done. I appreciate that as well. And I appreciate you, Tara, and you, Cole, for calling in for this maiden voyage of a Gather podcast. And thank you for your contributions to the written dispatch components out there. Do you have any final words to say, Tara? I will start with you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks again for having me. You know, I was thinking about this morning and leadership and, you know, people who have influence on your life professionally and personally. And, you know, now that I'm able to run my own business, I want to be the kind of leader that, like, for instance, in my article, I spoke about Sarah. I want to be the kind of leader that she was. I want to be able to make people comfortable. I want to be open with people so they feel like they can be open. Because, you know, we all have more in common than we realize. And like Cole was saying, we probably have more in common with things that we think are kind of uncommon, like different interests. So that's all part of leadership, I feel like, is making sure people are comfortable and bringing out the best in people. And I hope to be that kind of leader in my own business. And I'm certainly grateful for the leadership that Sarah showed me and having these kinds of calls. They're very interesting and I really like it. So thank you.
Cole, any last thoughts that you have?
I'll answer your question in the same way I answered the previous one, which I think is that curiosity is the key. Like, it's so easy on a Zoom call to just want to get to the meat of the thing and get out of there. But I think that that's really missing out on an opportunity. I mean, like, I got to know Mimi pretty well in our project that we worked on together and found out, you know, that she's got this punk band and she's got this really interesting, like, background. And
I wrote a blurb for me and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up writing a promotional blurb for her latest album release. And, you know, it takes effort, but I think that it's a worthwhile investment to try to find folks that are on your wavelength. And it's not going to be everybody, but you're not going to find anyone if you don't put yourself out there in that way. And it's probably harder for introverts than it is for extroverts. But I think that if you can will yourself to be curious about other people's lives, be outside of just the work at hand, you will find not just someone to shoot the breeze with, but someone who might be a really critical colleague and friend over the next stages of your professional life.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Cole. So please, dear listener, go to terachristycreative.com and check out the thing that she wrote. You can go to gather.co. We couldn't get the M. Gather.co, I believe, /dispatch, but there's a dispatch button on there somewhere to see the most recent, I keep wanting to say episode.
Dispatch?
Release? Yeah, I don't know.
Issue.
To see the most recent, I lost it again. Issue?
Podcast blog. Issue.
Yeah, see whatever it is. And probably see this podcast, yeah. And then listen, you know, subscribe and like us wherever we're about to be found.
We're so likable.
Yeah. And whatever we call this podcast, please subscribe and like to it. Listen, it's a Friday. The office is empty now except for us. We should all go home. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Thank you, Mimi, for being such good company.
Cheers. Happy to be here.
We will see you all.
Tara, I want to talk to you sometime soon. Cole, we got to catch up.
Definitely.
All right. We will see you all again, listeners, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.